Hi there. A quick note before we begin the episode. Did you know that Atlas Lingue has its own audiobook with exclusive and brand new material? It's called Atlas Lingue, The Layers of Language Behind Everyday Life. In this audiobook, we share additional exclusive commentaries on each episode with brand new insights and examples on the subject that we can't stop thinking about, how humans translate everything that comes their way. Also remember, when you buy Ochenta's audiobooks, you're directly supporting our independent audio series productions. So find Atlas Lingue, The Layers of Language Behind Everyday Life, on Libro.fm, Apple Books, Google Play, Storytel, BookBeat, and on your favorite audiobooks app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Atlas Lingue, the show that's all about language, culture, and communication. I'm your host, Luis Lopez. For this episode, we talk to Beverly Adaeze. She's a content creator, travel vlogger, wedding MC, and hairstylist, born in Lagos, Nigeria, and raised in Houston, Texas. And her content is a great mix of travel tips, Nigerian culture, and humor, especially in her audience's favorite character, the African auntie. In our conversation, we talk about her different talents and how they benefit each other, as well as some of her favorite trips, including a life-changing year in Colombia. So, without further ado, here's our interview with Beverly. Beverly, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Awesome. So, I'd like to start by asking you a bit about yourself. You were born in Lagos, raised in Houston. What was that like? What were, you know, some elements of your upbringing, your family, your school, your neighborhood community that, you know, planted the seeds of your eventual work?
When I came to the United States, I was 7 years old. So I was just this kid, you know, full of life. I didn't even know what was going on. I just knew that we were moving to a new place. And so with just being in Houston, now Houston has a very large Nigerian population as well. So I never felt like I was missing out on culture because there was always and there still is a great Nigerian community. But my parents were very much so, you know, focus on your books. You know, this is the path. You do your books, you go to school, you go to medical school. And that's just it. You know, you create a good life for yourself because we brought you to this country. So that was pretty much a lot of what my upbringing was.
I see. I mean, you mentioned this large and active Nigerian population in Houston. What do you, you know, remember growing up about that? Like, how was that scene in terms of, you know, how you absorbed the Nigerian culture around you at that time?
We're from, you know, different villages in Nigeria. So whenever people migrate to a new country, to a new state, they typically try to find each other. So, for example, if you were to move to Switzerland, it would be the equivalent of you finding, you know, a Latin community, Hispanic community there, and you all form like a group. So we, the people that are from my father's village, they've all just kind of formed a community here. And when I was growing up, we would have meetings. So meetings every, like maybe once a month, you would just go kind of mingle with the other kids and they would just talk about things that they want to do back home. And just, you know, it was a way to just build community. So that was really a lot of what I remembered growing up. Would go to people's weddings, graduations. It was kind of like, okay, if this person is celebrating, we all celebrate with them. Whenever it's your turn, everybody comes together and we celebrate you.
And was there also an element of, I understand what you just said about, like, you know, mostly hanging out with and meeting people from the same village, right? But was there also an element of like a sort of melting pot of people from different Nigerian communities as well, just because they were all abroad and sort of like had this thing in common, even though back in Nigeria, their families and communities would have been from different places?
So the meeting that I was just talking about, that is from a specific village. But just in general, whenever you would my parents would meet someone Nigerian. They would just try to, you know, form this relationship. And even in churches, you know, sometimes in churches, it would be a predominantly Nigerian church, but you would have different tribes and people from different states. So that was kind of like the melt, like the hub spot for different tribes and people to come together.
What kind of artists or creators would you say were like a great inspiration to your work when you were growing up? Musicians, filmmakers, writers, etc.?
Well, I'll say this because I really did not step into content creation until like maybe like recently.
Okay.
But I remember there's a guy called Flavor. We had Awilo, who was actually Congolese, but they still play him till this day at all the parties, all the weddings, and his music is still as hot. So that, and then just, you know, you have a few gospel artists here and there that kind of bring back nostalgia. So there are a few artists for sure. Now we have the new ones, you know, the Burna Boys, the WizKids and all that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to start talking about like one thing that I particularly love about your content, which is mm-hmm. these videos where you embody this character of the Nigerian auntie or grandmother, yeah. elder, which I love so much. I love how like you transmit so much of culture through humor and through like all of these little short, sweet moments. Right. And how did you come up with that idea? How much, you know, how does the influence of your own life experience and just knowledge about everything and your upbringing and surrounding appear in these sketches?
Oh, really? A lot of it is just from observation. I would say the African auntie, the main one that I play is a combination of my mom, my grandma, my aunties, and then just like, you know, the African aunties all around. I just kind of combine all of them into one dramatic character. And so just really life experiences. And it's crazy because when you're experiencing those things at the time, they're not as funny, like African aunties judging you and saying, oh, you put on a little bit of weight. It's not funny then. But when you, you know, talk about it now, it's, you know, we can all relate to it. And so it's kind of like we're laughing at our pain.
Yeah. I love that you also sometimes even have like these videos with a sort of ensemble cast of characters, right? Especially yeah. when you have like, I don't know, a group of Nigerian women at church, like at a fundraiser or something like that, right? Where you even yeah. get to like play around with these sayings and reactions, right?
Yeah, that's the fun of it. And even now I'm like, as the more I do these skits, the more I'm like, ooh, let me talk about the auntie that does this or the uncle that may do this. Yeah. So it's fun. It's fun.
What's your favorite part about making those videos?
My favorite part is really seeing everything come together. And then once it's uploaded, going through the comments to see the little things that people might pick here and there, right. You know, because different things are going to be funny to different people. So I just love seeing what others probably thought was funny to them.
Like what kind of comments or reactions do you particularly enjoy when people like notice certain things?
People will say the most random things. Like for some people, the polo shirt that I wear, it just kills them every time. They love it. They think it's so funny. For some, it may be like a saying or just a facial expression. So there's just so many different things because people are looking for what relates to them and their upbringing and what they could kind of tie into. So this is usually funny. It's usually funny reading through my comments.
I guess on that note, since like, obviously, it's so rewarding to see people notice things. I guess, like, some of them might have been very intentional and obvious, and some of them, like, it's not that they weren't intentional, but that you maybe weren't expecting that they would get that much of a reaction or be that noticed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes people point out stuff, and I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't really my intention, but okay, cool. You thought that was funny, no problem.
Yeah. So how do you, like, think of all of these things at a time? Does it, like, just sort of come naturally and, like, just the way you speak and act and dress and everything? Or how much are you actually thinking of, like, oh, I'm going to add these little references for, mm-hmm. you know, for people to be aware of, right? Like, real ones know, yeah. like, that this is how we do it or that sort of thing.
I always tell people, I think the reason my content hits and it's genuinely funny is because I don't force the funny. I just let it come to me. Right. It's just part of my experience. I don't sit at a desk and I'm like, oh, I need to do a part two to this video because I need to, you know, it's just whatever comes to me. And sometimes I'll just be, maybe I'm spending time with my mom and she'll just do just one thing and then it brings about a whole skit. Right. And so I'm like, oh, I want to do that. So I think I just allow it to come to me naturally from experiences. Or sometimes there may be like a trend on social media going on. And my mind is like, what would an African do in this scenario? And then I'll do that.
Could you give me an example of that? I'd love to know, like, maybe something that happened, you know, in your life where you like your mom or someone said something, and then like, how does that process look, it becoming a video, like a TikTok sketch or something?
I think one of the more famous ones that I've done, or the more popular ones, is the one that birthed the phrase international slay mama, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that one was from the African braider who usually is just trying to sell you her business. She doesn't really know how to do the hairstyle, but she's going to, you know, she wants to do it. She's not going to turn down business. And I think just being in the hair shops and just really like, you know, sitting there quietly getting my hair done and just listening, I'm able to now, and just observing the little things, like the little kids come in to ask for your snacks, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm able to go back home and then put that in a skit, and people are able to relate because this is something that happens pretty often.
So just, I guess, like the environment where it happens, right? The ambiance, and like how maybe it's, I guess it's funny, not necessarily in a way that like you're like always laughing, but almost always kind of like bringing a smile to your face as well, yeah. Right? Like remembering these things.
Exactly. Nostalgia, really, because a lot of it is really about the Nigerian American experience and like our upbringing. So yeah, you're able to kind of pick a few things like, oh, okay, I can relate to that.
Do you have any of the sketches that you've done that you're particularly proud of for some reason? Maybe like you didn't know if you were going to be able to pull it off and you did, or like just, you know, proud of how it turned out, like the reaction it got, or something like that.
There's one I did with the African aunties kind of being passive aggressive and kind of feuding, you know, kind of throwing shades.
Yeah.
I love that one. That one is a go-to. Random, but the plantain video, that was just something funny enough. I was actually going to go on a social media break, and I was just like, oh, let me just do this quick video real quick. So I just did it. And I uploaded the video, and then I logged off, and I wasn't on social media for like 2 weeks. And I remember getting a text, and my friend was like, oh, like, congratulations on hitting 1 million views. And I was like, 1 million views? Oh. Now on TikTok, that's not too hard to get to, but on Instagram to get 1 million views is crazy.
Right.
So I was like, wow. I mean, I knew I loved plantain, but I didn't know the whole world loved plantain as much. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I love that one. And I also really love the one where the auntie is an Uber driver. Oh, yeah. And picks up an Uber passenger, yeah. And like makes her do all these errands and stuff. Like that one was also, yeah, hilarious for all of its exaggeration and everything.
And I love that you as someone who's, you know, of Latin origin, you're able to kind of relate to that in some way, shape, or form. You know, I feel like,
yeah,
really all for the foreigners or immigrants, whatever we may call ourselves, those that migrated to the States, whenever I see content, even if it's like Indian American or something, there's something that I'm able to kind of relate to. And I'm like, wow, we're actually more similar than we are different.
Yeah. And I love that because you were mentioning earlier about the video where the different aunties and grandmas like are throwing shade and all of that, and like sort of feuding and one-upping each other and all of that. And I remembered this video by Jenny Lorenzo that she made about like old ladies, old Cuban ladies at a funeral or a different, or like at church or something like that. And and it's very similar to that, right? So I loved that one very much, and I love this one as well. It just, I don't know, I was just sort of like speaking to that thing about how these are like kind of universal experiences that we can all just enjoy, even if we don't share a background or a community.
Yeah, exactly. Because one thing about the aunties, they're always going to throw shade and shots, and they're going to be passive aggressive all across the borders.
Oh, I love it so much. So continuing to speak about your content, but now maybe a little bit more about the travel side. I really love your travel content as well. And I wanted to ask you more about, you know, what motivated you to start, well, not just traveling a lot worldwide, but also documenting and sharing it online.
To be honest, if I could go back, I would start recording way like before. I started traveling really at 20, like around 21. It was right before I graduated from undergrad. And it was my first time, because normally all I knew was Nigeria and Texas. So Nigeria would be the only place that I would ever go to. And so when I studied abroad in Spain, I took that leap because I was so afraid. I was like, oh, it's too much money and this. But I took that leap. I got a scholarship. Studied abroad in Sevilla, Spain for 3 months. And then after my program, I went backpacking by myself for 10 days from, you know, Italy to the Czech Republic.
Oh, wow.
And I think I was just so mind blown. And I think it just opened up this new world. Like, wow, this world is so big. There's so much that the world has to offer. And my goal now is to encourage people to travel, you know, or, and not just the luxury travel you see on Instagram. Because when I travel, I'm usually on a pretty decent budget, but to see the world, there's so much that we can learn. And I think traveling is such a great teacher. So that's one of my goals. And also it allows me to upload different content so that I'm not put in a box of just only skits, and you get to see more of my personality and things that I enjoy doing.
Right. Well, your content includes like all of these things, right? Like, yes, we do have the skits, which are hilarious, right. But we also have the travel, which just offers a very different experience, right? But then, of course, like you also are traveling and obviously looking at things and reacting to things from your particular Nigerian American perspective. Right,
exactly.
Which I think is really interesting.
With the commentaries, yeah. And I like that. Like I get to add a little bit of commentary here and there. And sometimes I just post a travel video with regular sound and just, you know, let the visuals kind of do what they need to do. But I do like to take people on a journey.
I love that. So I'm sure there's many because you've of course traveled to a lot of different places, but what are some places that you like particularly enjoyed going to and perhaps even sharing your experiences with your audiences, just because maybe you weren't expecting to enjoy them that as much as you did, or just, you know, because you really enjoyed them?
Well, of course, Colombia has a special place in my heart forever.
Right. And I do want to ask more about that in a moment.
But I love Italy. Italy was really nice. Okay. Hong Kong was great. The best ramen I've ever had has been in Hong Kong. And I almost don't want to try any other ramen because I'm like, I don't want to be disappointed. So that's a great place too. Italy, Hong Kong. Where else? There are a few places that I would probably want to go back to. Guatemala. Guatemala was nice. Okay. Yeah.
You posted a video walking with lions as well, right? Which looked so amazing.
One time only.
How was that experience?
It was like a once in a lifetime thing. I was like, wow, am I really here? I think in my mind, I thought maybe, you know, they would have the lions on some kind of leash or something.
Right.
But when they opened the gate and the two lions just, you know, just, they're just roaming around. And I'm like, what did I do? I was like, what did this girl get me into? And just like, they feel so majestic. They're so beautiful. They're huge. Yeah. They're big in person.
They are. Yeah.
Oh man. It's just like, wow, am I really doing this? But I'm glad that I did. And I'm glad that I'm here to tell the story.
I like that you like your content focuses so much on these experiences, right? Mm-hmm. There was also one that you did in Colombia. I don't remember exactly where, but like you also like went up sort of like a hill or something. And then like someone prepared this little like sort of dessert for you. You know, you just showed the whole process and everything. I guess like I really like that, you know, how we really get to see, you know, all of what you're doing and what you're experiencing through your content.
True. And then you also kind of get to hear what's going on in my head at the time through like the commentary, like the African, like my Nigerian commentary. So that's something I actually want to do more of this year. I haven't traveled since January because I was focusing on my birthday. But now that that's done, I plan on probably next month, to be honest.
Okay.
I love travel, the travel vlogs, and I love being able to share that experience. So
you mentioned like your Nigerian commentary when you're doing your content. And I guess I wanted to ask you about that because I love how you do that. You're like constantly sort of like switching between your American accent and your Nigerian accent. Could you tell me a little bit more about that process? Like, do you switch to the Nigerian accent when you need to say something like from a Nigerian perspective, or how does that work?
Well, one, people think that I do that for social media, but I'm like, no, that's how I talk to my friends. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what is it called? You're talking to your...
Code switching?
Yeah, I guess code switching, but, you know, slang, you know, because I know my Nigerian friends, my African friends don't understand it. But the best way to put it is usually my brain just automatically knows to switch to my Nigerian accent because whenever it's in an accent, it's usually what I'm kind of thinking of, you know?
Right.
That it's going on in my mind that I probably wouldn't say regularly, but it's what is really going on in my mind, you know? So it's like my inner thought, my subconscious, my inner thoughts.
I guess I could relate to that, Layton. Like, I mean, if I'm thinking in English and then suddenly I see something that surprises me, I would be like, like defaulting.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, I guess that would make sense. Okay, so I understand from what I've read about you in your website and on your social media that one of your goals, as you were saying, is to inspire others and especially women to travel and explore the world. And could you tell me just a little bit more about how you do this, how you aim to do this, you know, through your contact with your audience and through your videos and all of that?
really just traveling more and showing like just the beauty of these places that I travel to. I know on Instagram, like I said earlier, I try not to show things that's too luxurious because it can be intimidating to some people. They're like, why? I can't travel because I can't afford the 5-star hotel, or I've never flown first class, you know? So I show them the beauty of the culture. And a lot of times, of course, you know, being safe, being wise, I want to go to where like, the locals are. That's, you know, safe, reasonable. I want to show the local foods. I don't want to go to Costa Rica and then eat McDonald's. Like, I want to show you Costa Rican food, Costa Rican fruit, things like that. So that you can see that there is a world, you know, outside of your hometown. And hopefully it can like drum up some excitement to travel to these countries. So,
yeah, no, of course. I love that. Like a very local experience as much as you can get. Right. And I think that's amazing. Okay. So now I'd like to ask you, you mentioned it just earlier in the interview, but you lived in Medellin, right, in Colombia, yes, for some time. And as we mentioned when we contacted you, Studio 80 is a mostly Latinx company. And many of us, not me, but many of us are from Colombia or have roots there. So what was that experience like? You know, what did you like? What surprised you? Could you tell me about how that was?
I love Colombia. And as a matter of fact, I'm actually going to treat Colombia like I treat Nigeria and probably travel once a year because it has a special place in my heart. I love Colombians. They're very nice, very, you know, personable. I just love being able to live. I lived a simple life there. I was like, I don't want to live where the expats are. I'm trying to live like with the Colombians. I want to speak the language. I want to eat the food and learn, you know, like live like a Colombian. I don't know. Just waking up in my apartment and just seeing like the beautiful mountains, you know, like in Texas, I love Texas, but it's like, I don't see mountains when I wake up, you know, but there I'm able to just see that and absorb all of that. The food. Now I was surprised because I think my mind was thinking Mexican food and spice, but they actually don't do spice like that.
Right.
They don't like food that's too spicy. And so I think that kind of surprised me, I love the experience overall.
So could you tell me a little bit about like what motivated you to go to Colombia in the first place? But why did you decide to move there first for a while?
It was really my trip to Spain that I did in undergrad. That just showed me that, wow, there's a lot to see in this world. And actually, I was going to try to go to Germany. I was going to say I wanted to live abroad for about a year as an adult. So I thought of Germany, you know, I was like, okay, let me study some German. But then I went to Colombia for my 26th birthday and I was like, oh, I love this place. I love it. I fell in love. One of my coworkers at the salon, she was like, you know, I know you're going to Bogota, but definitely go to Medellin. You're going to love it. And she was right. I took I was in Medellin for 2 days during my birthday and I loved it. So I went back and I was like, I want to do life here. I want to experience it here. And I think it was a great place to do that. And yeah.
What was your first reaction when you got there, when you started, you know, after your maybe first day or couple of days there?
Oh man. I was like, am I really doing this? Like I literally just packed my bags. You know, I said I was going to do it and I'm here. I did not have an apartment at the time. I was just doing like Airbnbs and I was just like, I guess we're here and we're going to do this. So it was surreal, but it built my character. You know, so even now when I'm thinking like, oh man, this is so challenging, I'm not sure. I'm like, girl, you literally packed your bags, went to a whole nother country where you knew nobody. I didn't know anybody. Like we had Facebook groups and stuff, but it wasn't like I was going to stay with a friend. And I made it work. And I think that's why Colombia means so much to me. Yes, the culture is beautiful, the people and all that. But I think it was just the growth that happened and just discovering that, wow, you're actually braver than you think you are. So I think that's part of why I love Colombia so much.
You were on exchange in Sevilla, in Spain. So you had already learned Spanish, I presume, right?
And, thank you.
And I don't know if you even learned it from, you know, before that or how that was, but like I wanted to ask you about your communication there, like how you felt with, you know, speaking Spanish over there and all of that.
My minor was Spanish. And I look at language as a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so by the time it was time to move to Colombia, I was like, man, I need to strengthen my Spanish. But I knew that being in that country, being immersed in that culture was going to help me strengthen my Spanish. Being in Colombia, I was just like, I would talk to the taxi drivers, the Uber drivers, So I looked at it as like a little mini Spanish lesson, yeah. whether for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And it was just good. And they were very patient with me. And, you know, they would like let me say things. And then you just learn to pick up. Like right now, I would say I understand more Spanish than I can speak. I have to really, I still have to think.
Right.
You know, when it comes to speaking it, but I can understand.
But I wanted to ask you about that. I love that. I mean, in your, within your, you know, the travel section of your content, I like that in your Colombian videos, I guess because you live there and were like there for a longer time, we get to see like different details of your life there, like perhaps something that would be more like day-to-day activities. Like I think you took a sewing class and you showed us that, and right. And so like, I guess those would be different experiences from ones where you do like very short-term travel.
Exactly.
You know, sort of thing, right. So what was that like, you know, to be able to like show something more of a daily life kind of like everyday, experiences. And
I enjoyed it. And to be honest, you know, people would tell me, people would ask me, oh, can you post like more of like what you do there? And I'm like, my life here is so simple. You know, I literally wake up, go work out, come do some work. Maybe I'll go to a coffee shop and come back, cook. It was very, very simple. But I did want to, I liked doing like different little creative activities, picking up little hobbies, so that I can kind of show people a little bit more. But it was, my life was so simple there.
In one of those videos, you went to an Afro-Colombian festival. And I really liked everything, like everything that you included there, like the music and the fashion and just like everything that was on display. So what was that like? And I also wanted to ask you, like, would you say that it's a goal of yours, whenever you can, to like showcase these sort of like African diaspora events wherever you go?
Yes, I think now it is. Because even me, I knew that there were a lot of Afro-Colombians in like Cali, Colombia. But in that fest, I was like, wow, there's a lot here in Medellin. You know, I didn't see them enough. And so they would all come out and it was just really nice to showcase, because normally people probably wouldn't think that there are a lot of Afro-Colombians. Even for me, if not for like me speaking, a lot of the Colombians there, like the paisas, they would think that I was Afro-Colombian until I said something, you know? Or even things like when I traveled to Brazil, I was actually very shocked at the amount of like Brazilians that look like me. So I think it's important to show people, because I would have never known.
Is that also something, I don't know, notable when you travel, like the places where you just do not feel foreign? At least not until you speak and like people notice that you have an accent or speak something else. But like, is there something about that, about like being comfortable in a place where you do authentically look like someone from there?
I think so. Especially in a place like Colombia, I felt like I could blend in a little bit more. I didn't stand out too much. My goal wasn't to stand out or be flashy. I just wanted to blend in with the Colombians and live life like Colombians.
I wanted to go back to the phrase that you mentioned earlier, international slay mama. I was going to ask you about its origin, but of course, like you already mentioned, it's from one of the sketches. But I guess I wanted to ask you a little bit more about like what made it grow so much to the point of it being like such an iconic phrase, and that you use it as a sort of slogan or just like, you know, it's something that's representative of your content and of you, I guess. What made it grow to that point?
It's so funny how that came about, because I knew in the skit I was going to use slay mama, right? Because, you know, that's something I've heard before. Like, oh, you know, slay. But my friend, funny enough, I was on the phone with her and she was talking to her little kid and his name is Noble. And she was like, oh, no, international. Like she just kind of was, you know, like making him feel proud or whatever. She said the international. And I just was like, when I was making the video, I just happened to say it. And I was like, oh, I kind of like how that sounds. So it's actually really ironic that now it's being looked at as this phrase that kind of has a little bit of travel tied into it, because I am a traveler. So that was not planned whatsoever, but it works. And so now it's a phrase that I can use to kind of represent women that are traveling, you know, that travel, but they're fabulous while doing it. And, you know, they're seeing different countries. And so I think it's really cool.
I love that. Great. So I guess I have one last topic of conversation and question before we go to a very quick lightning round. I want to ask you about your work as a hairstylist, of course. I want to ask you, when did you start doing it? And when and how did you discover that you wanted to do it professionally? You know, what are some of your goals, or some of your philosophy and your approach to hairstyling?
I started braiding hair when I was about 11 years old because I was an only child at the time. My brother didn't come until I was 14. So I had nothing else to do. I was bored. And so in high school, you know, I did a little bit of hair braids for people. Then in college, that's actually how I was able to even like do things that probably other college students probably wouldn't be able to do, like buy organic. And just, it was like a side job, but it was, for a college student, it was pretty decent. And so once I graduated from college, or right before I graduated, when I was in Europe, I was like, you know what? I know my parents want me to do this, but I really enjoy hair. I love the art of it. So I got my degree and then I went to get my license in cosmetology. My parents were not happy because in their mind, they wanted me to do something else. It's like, we brought you to this country. We want you to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. But I really wanted to do this. And so with doing it, I love the field. I love the art of it. Now, I don't do it full time anymore because I'm more focused on content. But I do actually do monthly pop-ups for like my old clients. And just because I love the art of it. But I found that it's hard to do that full time and travel and host and create content and things like that. So I kind of had to sacrifice. But who knows, in the future, I may still want to dive into it. Whether create products or things like that. Hair has a special place in my heart as well. So,
and would you say it's also like a vehicle for creativity? Like, are there some hairstyles that you particularly enjoy because they're like a challenge, or that you like, you love how they look, how they turn up?
Really, color is my specialty. And what's funny is color was what intimidated me the most in cosmetology school. I didn't even do color in cosmetology school because I was so afraid of it. And so now in chemistry, when I was an undergrad, it was a challenge for me. So it's funny that now with color is chemistry. That's my specialty. That's what people come to me for. And so it's just really cool to see how things play out. So
you did mention one thing about hosting, which is something that now that I'm remembering, I didn't mention earlier, but I've also seen some of your videos where like you share clips of weddings that you host or events that you host. And I really love those because they always seem a lot of fun. And like there's so much energy, like it's all these huge parties. And I wanted to ask you about that as well. Like, what do you like about hosting, about doing those events, about like being able to be part of a party and like really be able to like bring a lot of energy to the table and to a venue?
Well, weddings are going to be one of the most memorable times in a couple's life. And so the fact that I'm part of that memory, like they're going to look back at their videos and pictures and remember seeing me there. So I don't take it lightly. Whenever I am planning on what to do for a wedding, I customize it to the couple. You know, I want what's going to make, even if it's a big wedding, I want it to feel small in a sense that I want everyone to feel involved, like you were part of that day. My goal is to see the couple smile and laugh and, you know, dance, and not just the couple, but the audience as well, the guests that are there, the young ones, the old ones, to make everyone just feel involved. And it's funny because I used to have a fear of public speaking. And so the fact that like, this is what I'm doing, it's, you know, and I feel like I get better each and every single wedding.
So now we'll move to the lightning round. So it's just four very quick questions. First one, are you more of a morning person or more of a night owl?
I'm a morning person. I prefer, not even that I prefer, but I feel like my life is better when I get up earlier and get things done earlier. Yeah, I don't like staying up late.
What would you say is an underrated fashion trend that deserves more love?
Ooh, I feel like simplicity and that minimalist style, just being able to put in together a simple white top, maybe khaki pants, something simple, because it never goes out of style. It's classic.
What's a high school or college course that you didn't realize you were going to love until way after you started it?
Probably chemistry.
Okay.
Ooh, actually, chemistry I didn't like until after college, but I would say anatomy and physiology while in college. I really enjoyed it.
How did you eventually grow to enjoy it?
Anatomy, physiology? I don't know. It's just, I think this is when I thought I would be a doctor, but even still, I just learning different parts of the body and why this, you know, operates this way and, you know, this affects this. And it was really interesting.
Right. Like it might have seemed intimidating at first, but like eventually you found it interesting.
Yeah. I looked forward to the classes for sure.
Awesome. And final one, what's a country that you haven't visited yet and would absolutely love to?
Japan.
Ooh,
yes,
okay.
Japan and South Korea, but Japan, yes. I can't wait. Maybe next year. Oh, and Thailand. Oh, man, so many.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine there's so many.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that's it. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing all of this with us. Just finally, could I ask you to tell us, you know, where to find you on social media or where we can find your content? And also, if there's anything else you'd like to share in terms of like projects that you're working on or anything you'd like to, you know, plug?
Yes, you can find me on pretty much all social media platforms as Beverly Adeze. That's Adeze. On everything. I am looking to grow my YouTube platform a little bit more. And then I also want to refocus on my podcast called No Longer Rugged Podcast. So that's available right now on Spotify. So yes, you can definitely find me on there.
Thank you so much to Beverly for talking to us. I loved getting to know more of her process as a content creator and about how to manage accounts with such diverse types of content, from beauty to travel to cultural humor. And it was so much fun to learn that the African Auntie has such a global following and resonates with people of all sorts of cultural backgrounds. You can find Beverly's content on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Beverly Adeze. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Ochenta Podcasts and on TikTok at Studio Ochenta. Thanks for listening. Hi, it's Luis here, and I want to tell you about a show we've been listening to called The Pulso Podcast. There are a lot of podcasts that cover Latino culture and news, but this is one of the first we've heard that really utilizes the throughline of history to provide more context and nuance to our stories. From the halls of Congress to the stages of Broadway, even the food we consider to be American, Latinos helped build this country, and we're not going anywhere. Yet most podcasts are still lacking Latino representation behind and in front of the mic. The Pulso Podcast is a Latina-hosted, Latina-produced show that explores untold stories and unheard voices shaping the experiences of nuestra gente. They've covered topics from beauty standards and gender equality to mental health and food origins. And did you know that there is an official Spanish version of the Star Spangled Banner? Or that a team of Mexican lawyers changed the future of segregation laws in the 50s? To hear more, check out the Pulso Podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.